back on the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Brett Ehrlich with you guys. We did a rousing edition of Old School together last night.
Yes, we did.
With Michael Schur and John Iadarola. By the way, I know that some of you guys had trouble hearing the beginning of it if you're watching live, if you're a member. Don't worry, we did record it right, so when it gets put up in the member section, you'll be able to hear the whole thing.
Also, I did go home afterwards and watch Moana. That's a bit of a teaser.
Really?
And I did cry my eyes out.
You did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
great. It's touching, and it's about, for me, it's her belief in herself. That's what gets me. You have to watch the Old School to really understand the context of that, but it's a free month, so go check it out.
That's right. We talked about the things that make us cry as guys, so you'll enjoy that. So again, as Brett said, it's free this month, so tytnetwork.com/join. Get your free month of membership, and you got to put in free TYT as the promo code. So click the $10 a month thing, unless you want to do more, you want to pay $25. That's not free, but I would love you for it. Don't get me wrong, okay? But if you click the $10 thing and you put in free TYT as the promo code, you'll get a month of membership for free, so you can check it out. Old School's there, the post games that Brent and I did yesterday and we'll do today will be there. All the post games are there. And tonight we got Aggressive Progressive at 9 o'clock Eastern. You can watch the first segment for free. But if you're a member, and again, you could be a member for free this month, you'll get to watch all the Aggressive Progressives.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, let me read you some tweets and then we'll go on to these great stories. Peter Kelly says Putin will be going into the meeting with high intel and Trump will be going in with Breitbart. Oh boy. Ryan Zephyr says, left is the best. Wow, that's so corny. It sounds like it was written by a corporate Democrat. They were actually doing that fun little slogan. I don't know if you saw that, Democrats 2018, and they were asking people to fill in the slogan. And one of the slogans they suggested was, well, did you see the other guys? It's like, oh no, that's so sad.
It's a pitch meeting. It's a brainstorm. All ideas are good ideas. It's a safe environment.
Except when you make it public.
Yeah, okay. Except that.
Christina Oaks writes in, I don't know a single progressive that has ever said left is the best. Leftists are cynical and self-deprecating to a fault. It's true. Like that. There's not a lot of, maybe I might be among the only ones. And as I explained in the post game yesterday, I'm a little jingoistic, so it makes sense. Uh-huh. I started as a Republican, so I'd probably be the only leftist in the country who's like, progressives are number one. Okay. Anyway, all right, let's go forward. What do you got for
us? All right. Hobby Lobby's back in the news, and I would like to go out on a limb and say this is the weirdest reason to be in the news that I could think of. It sounds like a Mad Lib. They were caught trying to import like $1.6 million worth of ancient artifacts, and they got caught for it because things were labeled weird. We'll get into it. But they are being forced to pay $3 million in fines, give all of those artifacts back to the government, and then change their ways to make sure that when they are importing ancient artifacts, they do it in a way that adheres to the ways of Customs and Border Patrol. So this all started back in 2010. In 2010, an expert on cultural property law, retained by Hobby Lobby, warned the company that the acquisition of cultural property, likely from Iraq, which is where these things seem to be from, including cuneiform tablets and cylinder seals, which you need, carries a risk that such objects may have been looted from archaeological sites in Iraq. But the report from the Department of Justice goes on to say that notwithstanding these warnings, in December 2010, a few months later, Hobby Lobby went through with the purchase of 5,500 artifacts comprised of cuneiform tablets and bricks, clay bulle, and cylinder seals for $1.6 million. What do these kinds of things look like? Well, let's take a look at them. This is what they spent their money on. Beautiful.
It looks neat.
Yeah. That looks so different from other balls of rock.
That one just seems like a rock.
But these are apparently balls that have inscriptions on them originally or some kind of seal on them. They are of some culture importance. Just so you know that they proceeded with this despite the many red flags listed by the federal government, which says that there was conflicting information about where the artifacts had been stored. They were displayed informally when showed to the president of Hobby Lobby who was trying to buy them, which makes it seem like the guy just opened his coat and showed them.
He had balls in his coat?
He had balls in his coat. Yeah. Is that cuneiform in your pocket? Are you happy to see me? Hobby Lobby wired the payment for the artifacts to 7 different personal bank accounts held in the names of other individuals. So they didn't even pay the person.
That's not a red flag. That's basically saying, I know what I'm doing is illegal.
Yeah.
Like if you're buying it from an official person who can actually sell you the artifacts, which is a, like there's a whole black market in artifacts. So this is not a thing that's new to people. They know that if you're buying an artifact, you have to be really careful because it's a really serious crime if you buy it when an artifact that is actually state property of another government, right? So when a guy does this, hey, you want to see it? And but no, don't send it to me. Don't send it to the government of Iraq. Don't send it to anyone. Send it to these 7 different personal bank accounts under different names. You know what you're doing is illegal. Of course it's illegal.
Yeah, also the people who shipped it labeled it stuff not like ancient artifacts, which you're kind of, there's ways that kind of indicate you need to label it what it is so that they can make sure that it wasn't looted from an archaeological site. They just labeled it ceramics, which I guess technically it is, and tile pieces, which I guess technically some of these could be construed as that. But I think when that goes through customs, they're, if it says tile, they're thinking like for my kitchen, not for display. Which brings the question, why are they buying all this stuff?
That's actually the best part of the story. Okay, so since 2009, Hobby Lobby, you and my guys might remember Hobby Lobby. They're the ones that did that Supreme Court case and about how they want to be able to put their religion on their employees. These are my religious beliefs and you have to live by them, and hence I don't want you to be able to get an insurance that covers abortions or anything like that because Jesus didn't like abortions, although he never mentioned it. Anyway, in 2009, since they love Jesus and the Bible so much, they started buying historical Bibles and other artifacts. So far, great, no problem. You like the Bible, you want to buy historical Bibles, that's lovely as long as it's legal, right? And it turns out that they got really into it and they started buying more and more artifacts. And then they started doing it apparently illegally here, because here they've admitted it was illegal.
Yeah.
Right? So remind me again, and then they say that it was to fulfill the company's mission and passion for the Bible. I'm pretty sure thou shalt not steal is in the Bible. But I mean, that is, it's such a perfect microcosm of a fundamentalist ideology. Like, oh, I love the Bible so much, I want to steal it. Right? And by the way, if you stole a Bible, that's not such a bad thing, right?
I don't know.
Right? Because at least you'll have a Bible.
If it was placed there by the Gideons in a hotel room, I'm sure you can take it.
They put it there for a reason, right? Oh, it's a little ironic. But if you steal important artifacts and lie about it on purpose, that's pretty unchristian. Giving the Christians the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, let's go to graphic 7. This is what Hobby Lobby has, you know, agreed to in the wake of all this. They said Hobby Lobby has accepted responsibility for its past conduct and agreed to take steps to remedy the deficiencies that resulted in its unlawful importation of the artifacts. Hobby Lobby has agreed to the forfeiture of all the artifacts. But that first part being like, oh, we'll just make sure this doesn't happen again. It's like, there are so many steps along the way where it is so obvious that you didn't want people to know about this. Like when you go and enter a room and it's informally displayed and things are labeled from other countries and go from port to port without being labeled properly. It's absolutely the knowingly part of the law that you did this. And it's so frustrating how it's like, listen, our employees, you won't have access to birth control, but hey, we have $1.6 million to spend on Mesopotamian cuneiform.
Yeah, no, Brett's exactly right. It makes it seem like it was an honest mistake. Like Brett and I are sitting next to each other in a desk, let's say, and you had your charger plugged in and I thought it was my charger and I took it home with me. That's an honest mistake, right. I won't do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I'll take steps to make sure that wasn't happening again, label it.
You had an ancient artifact that you displayed in a super weird way that I had to give to secret bank accounts and we mislabeled it and sent it over here. Oops.
It's so good.
I guess we won't make that honest mistake again.
Where do these go when they get confiscated by the government?
Presumably, I hope that they have a process by which they determine where they actually came from and return it to its rightful owners.
Part of me hopes it gets put on a forklift and put next to the Ark of the Covenant in the last scene of like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Because then the rightful owner, Harrison Ford, can find it. Okay, one last piece of irony that I love. These are the same conservatives who are like, gotta protect the borders, man, we gotta strengthen customs. Oops. they violated laws regarding customs. But hey, you know what? Apparently already strengthened because customs caught them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're doing a great job catching Hobby Lobby. I mean, good for them. All right. Let's move on to the next story. There's a new dress code in place for those of you who want to visit Capitol Hill, and you've got to wear sleeves. That is the word on the street, according to a new report that came out. It all started with a report from CBS where there was a reporter who tried to get into an area known as the Speaker's Lobby and was told she couldn't get in because she didn't have sleeves on her outfit. By the way, it's June. When this happened, June, July, in Washington, D.C., it's super hot there. And women aren't wearing, some women decided not to wear sleeves, although their shirts are probably pretty expensive. And this is what happened to this woman who tried to get into the Speaker's Lobby. Apparently, according to the report, she was forced to improvise. She ripped out pages from her notebook and stuffed them into her dress's shoulder openings to create sleeves, according to witnesses. And she was still rejected. But it's not just her. Others have tweeted out that this kind of thing happens. Kay Tully McManus tweets, "This is for real. Fellow female reporters barred from Speaker's Lobby for wearing sleeveless dresses while doing their jobs. It's hot in DC," as she says. Another says, "Can confirm I was warned the next time I would be removed." This is apparently important to Paul Ryan, who said to Congress recently, members of Congress should wear appropriate business attire during all sittings of the House, however brief their appearance on the floor may be. And then went on, according to Jezebel, the only rule in place, the only written rule simply states that women should wear, quote, appropriate attire, and the rest is left up to the enforcement of the Speaker of the House.
So to give you more details about what Paul Taliban, I mean Ryan, wants here. This applies to the reporters, but also the lawmakers and the staff.
Yeah.
So he's checking out his staff nonstop to see if they're violating the rules. And it's not just sleeveless dresses. There's one other very important violation. You have to cover your toes.
See, that goes without saying to me.
You think so?
Because I don't know if it made the final draft of the Constitution, but there was a whole toe thing.
Oh, there was.
A whole footnote.
The lost amendment.
The lost footnote.
About the lost footnote.
Oh God, I'm sorry. That was a long walk.
Okay, we got there. I got it. So look guys, I mean it's funny because it's absurd. And apparently Paul Ryan has a foot fetish. Let's just keep it real. I mean, what's with the random you can't wear open toed shoes?
So weird.
The speaker can never see your toes. If he sees your toes, bad things will happen. What's with the weird toe thing?
It's just so strange. Like, if you look at photo after photo of women presenting important documents and making presentations, Melania Trump or Ivanka Trump making public appearances for very official White House purposes, she wears sleeveless outfits, and it's weird for someone to say like that's inappropriate. It wouldn't stop me. It's so strange.
And so this is when I, you know, refer to them as the American Taliban and talk about their Sharia law. This is their Sharia law. Look, nobody's getting killed, thank God, right? But is it against the freedom of the press? Of course it is. Is it un-American to say, hey, I'm going to tell women exactly how they should cover themselves up? So that might be your particular religious thing if you're a Muslim or if you're a Christian, apparently. But you got to separate that out from your official government business. You can't tell a reporter who's there. Or I think it's, I mean, just as bad, if not worse, to say to your own staff members, I don't know why, if it's like some religious zealotry or you're secretly turned on by it and can't control yourself, I don't want to see your arms or toes under any circumstances because I will flip out.
That's the implication. I can't get around it. It reminds me of like the teachers who say like these girls in class are wearing outfits that are too revealing, and then you see the photo and it's just like their shirt comes to like here and you see their arms. It's like it's implying that they somehow are sexualizing these women, even though to someone who has seen these photos of the people they're talking about, they're not being inappropriate. And sleeveless isn't enough. There's a difference between like a nice sleeveless top and then like wearing a tank top and you know, like you're going to the beach. That's not what these women were wearing.
And look, women can't win because if they cover themselves up too much, then you pass laws saying you're not allowed to wear burqas or burkinis. And so we haven't done that in this country, thank God. I'm not in favor of the burqa, but I think we live in a free country and they don't have to abide by my beliefs, right? And so, but in France, okay, you're not allowed to wear a burkini. Now here in America, you're not allowed to wear sleeveless dresses. So you can't show too much, you can't show too little.
Right.
So what the hell are you supposed to do? Like, but when it comes to guys, there just isn't the same rules. There just isn't. Like you'll have things like no flip-flops, and you have to have a shirt on.
There is there is a tie of shame that I saw online where like one staffer posted a photo called the tie of shame. If he didn't wear a tie to work, they give him like the ugliest tie, which actually works counter to your intention to make everyone look respectful if you're putting them in a tie that fulfills your general obligation to wear neckwear. But it makes him look ridiculous and you're admitting it by calling it the tie of shame. I just think business attire covers it. Like it covers it.
Yeah, don't get pervy and tell us all the body parts you want to see and don't want to see and then complain about Sharia law. Finally, I know that Paul Ryan is in favor of formal attire. That is why he would never be caught, especially as now Speaker of the House, esteemed guy, ran for vice president, right? Mm-hmm. In anything but formal attire. So can I see a picture of Paul Ryan real quick? I see many body parts here.
Dang.
That appears to be forbidden knees and
Every time. This is what happens when you leave it to Beaver.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay. When it comes to him, apparently informal attire is, he thought these pictures were cool.
Oh, and there he is.
That's sleeveless.
Sleeveless. He's saying no. A universal sign of no. Do not wear what I'm wearing. I am jumping out of my seat. I can't contain myself.
We gotta pass laws against that.
That's amazing. That one's so ridiculous.
Okay, all right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're not done with absurdity yet. So there's a story about the Kardashians that is actually relevant in the news cycle. Mm-hmm. And there's also a hilarious part of it that I love. And was there discrimination against a certain kind of actor? We'll talk about that as well when we come back. All right, back on Young Turks, Cenk Uygur and Brett Ehrlich with you guys. Captain Jingle Pants writes in, Paul Ryan and Mike Pence have some weird issues with women. That's still one of my favorite things.
The one where he's like, I don't even look at women unless my wife's there to look at them with me.
That too, but no, that it's the more absurd thing at the convention. They're like, and Mike Pence, we got a nickname for him in Indiana. We just call him Mike. That's
not a nickname.
That's,
yeah.
I can't get over how funny that is.
You already said that was his name a second ago.
That's how great Mike is. We call him Mike.
So strange.
Anyway, Lisa Mojica writes in that they are trying to erase Michelle Obama's legacy. You know how she used to rock his shirts?
I guess that's true.
Maybe they are. They're
so
bitter.
Weird.
Yeah. Michael Contreras writes in, Paul Ryan needs a dress code on female staff. Because he can't seem to take control of his own staff. Hashtag, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
no, Michael, we got
thanks,
it.
Thanks for that visual.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
Ugh. I guess Paul Ryan's like, if I can't show my arms, no one can.
All right, let's go to Black China.
All right. I don't know if you've been following this whole Rob Kardashian Black China thing, but it has escalated to legal levels. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Rob Kardashian, who is the Kardashian brother, has been romantically linked, married to Black China. They had a baby together. But on the 4th of July, he posted some images of her doing some very naughty things. Naked photos, in addition to illicit acts on the bed that he shares with her, and then tweeted out and then tagged it with all these strange things like, ha ha ha, China just sent me this video saying happy 4th of July, what a crazy person. And it's her with another man on his bed. And then he listed all the money that he spent on her. I've spent $100,000 on her surgeries after she had the baby to fix her, and $200,000 on this. I bought her a Ferrari. But all the while sending these naked photos of her out until he had his Instagram shut down and then he went to Twitter. It's been a whole big thing. Well, now Blac Chyna's lawyer has stepped in saying this is revenge porn, essentially. I'm looking into it anyway and saying I am exploring all legal remedies and protections available to my client at this time in attempts to best advise her on how she may want to proceed. That's where it is. Is it revenge porn? What do you think?
So I think that America is in a sad state of affairs, and we shouldn't be surprised that Donald Trump is president when we live in this soap opera. So we've got like Rob Kardashian, the degree to which he should be irrelevant in our world is immeasurable, right? What has Rob Kardashian ever done with his life? Except his dad once knew OJ and his sister made a porn tape. Hence, we should all care about what this obvious, absolute loser is doing with his life. I mean, look, maybe I'm being a little harsh. Sorry, Kardashians. Okay. But so he all of his bragging is like, oh yeah, she took all my money and I gave her a Ferrari while she was sleeping with other guys. What?
Yeah, to your point, I am also like how relevant he is. I am mad that I know all the answers to that. Like, I know that, like, all right, so Blac Chyna was with Tyga, who had a kid together, and now Tyga is with Kylie, and so she might have just been jealous and saw an easy mark in Rob, and so she just had a baby with him and took all this money. And then the next thing you say, that's what Snoop Dogg's saying. That's what T.I. is saying. They are all stepping in and saying, like, and he was on Dancing with the Stars too.
Wow, yeah. My bad. I didn't know he was like that. He had that kind of talent.
Yeah.
So now, which gets to my two favorite parts of the story. One is that the Kardashians are worried, and I'm not kidding, that Rob is hurting the family name.
So weird.
Can you hurt that name? Mm-hmm. But they're like, this is a very valuable brand, and he's damaging the brand. And they said, and even worse than damaging the brand, they have a 7-month-old kid, so I guess that might be bad too.
Yeah, we don't want him to be the one with the sex tape. We want to wait till she's old enough to participate in the proud Kardashian, you know, tradition of a sex tape herself.
No. Let's, for God's sake, let's keep the kids out. I hope the Kardashians understand that. But like the idea that the Kardashian family, who got famous off of a porn tape, and look, I God bless, it's a free country, and I'm pro porn. Okay, so I don't want you to get the wrong idea, and I'm not shaming anyone. But for you to then turn around and be like, our illustrious family name, for you to have, you know, terribly damaged it by putting out other sexually explicit content online, which is how we got famous in the first place.
We got famous again for the sex tape after originally being famous for being OJ's friend during a murder trial,
where he cut two people's heads off. Anyway,
you know, civilly proved, but not in a court of criminal behavior.
Yes. And then finally, the new guy that Blac Chyna is apparently dating, God help us all, that any of us care about any of that. Although, yes, I agree with you. Yes, you do get sucked into the drama, right? I watch Pop Trigger too.
Yeah, not proud of it, but I am.
So, but he is now saying he is shocked and chagrined by what's happened, but would like Rob Kardashian to come on his reality show to talk about the makeout photos.
So ridiculous. It's so sad. Well, I don't like Rob's behavior to make these decisions, but he does have like a history of like mental health problems. So hopefully he gets the help he needs. But stop doing this. Listen to T.I. Listen to Snoop Dogg. Just put it away. Put it all away. Yeah. All right, we have time for one more story.
Yes, and to be fair to the Kardashians, we have elected a person of questionable mental health to be our president, who was also a reality show star.
Yeah.
So, glass house.
So crazy.
Yes.
All right. So, last story of the day is CBS has a show called Hawaii Five-0. not the old one, the revitalized version of it. And they just lost two of their main cast members out of the four. Here's a photo of the cast. So the two Asian Americans are Grace Park and Daniel Dae Kim. You'll recognize them from Battlestar Galactica and Lost. They just wanted to get paid as much as the other co-stars, Alex O'Loughlin and Scott Kahn. And that all fell apart. And so they will not be back this next season, which guess what season it is? How long do you think this show has been on?
No, I would have never guessed it right. I saw it in the article. I would have guessed like, wow, has it been on for two? No, maybe even 3 years. Turns out
168 episodes. So this will be its eighth season.
Hawaii Five-0 has been on for seven frickin' seasons?
Yeah.
That might be longer than the original.
Yeah, so Daniel Dae Kim said he had made himself available for the negotiations, but they fell through because he was not going to get paid as much as his other co-stars. And I don't watch the show, but I assumed it was like, the reason I know it is because of Jin and Battlestar Galactica Girl. So that's it. I know Scott Kahn, but whatever. Anyhow, he says, as an Asian American actor, I know firsthand how difficult it is to find opportunities at all, let alone play a well-developed three-dimensional character like Chin Ho. I will miss him dearly, he said. Though transitions can be difficult, I encourage us to look beyond the disappointment to this moment, of this moment to the bigger picture. The path to equality is rarely easy. And then he gets a little dig in saying, I've got new acting projects on the horizon. And as a producer, my company 3AD has its first show, The Good Doctor, set to air this fall on ABC. I hope you'll tune in.
Yeah, so he was very gracious. He actually thanked a couple of the executives at CBS by name.
Kurtzman and Orsi.
Yeah, and given what happened, that's surprising. So bless his heart for being gracious about it overall. So what was the big difference between the two sets of actors? Well, the white actors got 2% more. And you're thinking, CBS says we offered them a lucrative contract and larger than what we were offering them before. They didn't say they offered them the same as the white actors, though. They just said it's large. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think they're going to war over 2%, no, that's not what the problem is. Okay. Although on principle, I suppose you could. No, the white actors get points, which means that they can get a percentage of the show's revenue in the future. And they went over 100 episodes, which means that they could actually go into
syndication
and get a ton of money in reruns, right? But the Asian actors will not be getting them. Now, if you said, look, they happen to be Asian, and those guys happen to be white, but the white guys are more famous, like if it was Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I would totally agree with you on that. And go, hey, look, just because they're Asian doesn't mean that they get to be as famous as the other guys, right? And I know Asians don't have as many roles, and maybe that's unfair in some ways. But in this case, that's not true. The Asian actors are more famous than the white actors.
I mean, let's be fair. It's when I describe these people, I say Battlestar Galactica girl, James Caan's son, the guy from that movie with J-Lo, and then Jin. So I've only really named one character person by the actual name of the character. And so I know him the best. He should be the one making all the money. But they say it's a true ensemble cast. The best part about the statement, I will add the graphic 20A. This is from Peter Lenkoff, the EP and showrunner, the executive producer. He says, Hawaii Five-0 has and will continue to showcase one of the most diverse casts on TV. And then he goes, some of my best friends are Shy McBride, Jorge Garcia, Mark Dacascos, and then just lists all these people. And it goes on. There's another graphic with people's names, as well as Daniel and Grace. All of these great talents, regulars are reoccurring. It's just like, that's the part that gets me is like, no, we still have a very diverse cast. We just won't pay them as much.
Yeah, and look, by the way, they should get credit for having a diverse cast, although it's cast in Hawaii. So if you had an all-white cast in Hawaii, it'd be a little weird, right? But bless your hearts. Now just take the extra step, which is not that hard, of paying them the same amount of money. And I know there are a lot of different factors, but and you can disagree on who's more famous. But these guys are at worst at the same level. And it's an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense to pay them the same amount.
All the people on Friends went to bat together and said, listen, we all want to get paid the same amount because we're equal billing, and they got it. So I don't know. That's a shame.
All right. Do you want to come back for the other two stories?
Yeah, we'll do one.
Okay. All right. So guys, for the Sirius Satellite Radio audience, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow. for everybody watching on tytnetwork.com. We do have one more story for you, so come right back and we'll share that with you guys. Okay, so it's not bye-bye time yet. That'll be afterwards. So stay with us if you're watching online. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Ruth Iverson writes in, who's watching this Hawaii New 50 show?
It's amazing.
I know you meant 50, but you wrote 50 and it was funny. I had no idea it was still on. I think I saw it once. Me too. I watched it once. And I realized that if I wasn't so busy, yeah, I'd watch TV.
Yeah.
Because like, there's nothing good in it, but there's no harm in it either.
Yeah, there's no harm in television. There's some good TV on, but I feel like it's really difficult to watch the top network shows. Like I watch Big Brother. Mm-hmm. It was like my big like tent pole summer show that I watch. But other than that, everything else is
you know
streaming.
What? Let's save it for the post game. Because okay. I'll tell you the only times that I watch live TV and what I gain from that. Because I watched a bunch of things in a row and I'm glad you reminded me of that because I wanted to talk about it.
Awesome.
So we'll do that in the postgame, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. And again, it's free this month, so go nuts. And you got to enter free TYT as the promo code to get it for free. All right, what's next?
All right, finally you can snort chocolate. Am I right? Let's take a look at this brand spanking new product from Nick Anderson, a 29-year-old from a company called Legaline. It's called Coco Loco. I don't know, it seems like it's trying to tap into the Four Loko craze. It is available for right now, it's on sale for $10 or for $5 off the $24.99 price tag. It is chocolate powder you can snort. And what does it do for you? According to the website, it gives you an endorphin rush, a serotonin rush, which it compares to the elevated mood similar to the feeling of ecstasy, a euphoric energy, and then don't worry, you also will get a calm focus. So it's trying to be ecstasy, coke, and Adderall all rolled into one, all the way to the snorting. Would you do this?
Well, it depends on the other things that you're gonna tell me. First of all, you know what I like about my food? Tasting it.
Right.
So.
But most of taste is smell.
Ooh, good counterpoint. Counterpoint.
Yes.
Okay.
But you can smell things without literally putting them in your nose, I guess.
Yes. Counterpoint to yourself. Okay, so I've never felt a need to snort anything. I'm not that guy.
Gotcha.
So it's not like when you say it to me, it's like, but you can snort it. I'm like, and? Okay. So chocolate is delicious. I prefer eating it.
Yeah.
Let's just say that I'm a little dubious that it's going to give me ecstasy and Adderall all at once, perfectly legal and safe, etc. So
if you're wondering what the experts in the medical field are saying about this, and Dr. Andrew Lane, who runs the Sinus Center at Johns Hopkins, which is a reputable institution, says, what are the risks? He says, there's no data. As far as I can tell, no one studied what happens if you inhale chocolate into your nose, which I believe. No one studied. He said it's not clear how much of each ingredient would be absorbed into the nasal mucous membranes. And while putting solid material into your nose, you could imagine it getting stuck in there or the chocolate mixing with your mucus to create a paste that could block your sinuses. Good to know.
The chocolate mucus paste made it slightly less interesting. Slightly less appetizing. Okay, you know what? I would try it.
You would try it?
Yeah. Would I continue to pay money for it? No. But if you says, hey, this is just chocolate.
Yeah.
Do you want to snort it?
Yeah.
I'd be like, you only live once.
I don't know. And people who have tried it and also own the company say, so basically the guy who invented it said, it really gives me that focus that I need and all these things. I just don't believe it at all.
But I believe it enough to try it, Brett, because you know why? Because I am just like everybody else. I'm that sucker who when I see LA's best hamburger,
right,
I'm like, is it? And I go in and try it.
World famous. Tommy's with one M. That's the hamburger stand all over. It's like fake Tommy's famous hamburgers. Yeah, it's amazing. What makes me a little dubious is the person who created this, Nick Anderson, a 29-year-old who started with $10,000, started the company which is called Legaline, which lean is another word for purple drink, which is kind of a codeine cough syrup that is illegal. And Lil Wayne, just ask him with his experiences with that. And so he tried to make a legal version of that using just herbal extracts. And if you read some of the reviews of it, they're pretty hilarious. Like, it just made me sleepy. It didn't work at all. But the guy says that he's selling somewhere between 40,000 to 50,000 bottles of legal lean each month for $12.50.
So this is a thing.
This is a thing, but he's doing legal lean, and now he's trying to do legal Four Loko because it's like Four Coco, but then it's also snorting stuff. So you're doing scissorp and legal lean.
So I think basically what this is you'll get to pretend to be cool,
right,
without actually doing anything illegal.
It's just like people will see you at the club going, and they'll be like, "Are you doing cocaine?" And they'll be like, "Why is it brown all over your nose?" I don't know. Well, you're sniffing butts. But I thought that was really an amazing thing. One time my friend was doing, I think Bill Romanowski had a powdered energy drink. And I got
dared. Of course he did.
Yeah. It's called Pure Romo Nutrition.
And, of course it is.
And they were like, snort it. My friend was like, snort it. And I was like, as a joke, like, because it's funny to me at the time. And then he was also a doctor. And he's like, that is super bad for you.
Oh, really?
He's like, that is so bad because when you snort it, it just goes straight into your bloodstream. Like you're absorbing it there as opposed to it going through your digestive system and getting broken up all the normal ways that your body handles.
But you know what? That makes me want to try the Coco Loco more.
Yeah.
Because maybe if you get chocolate right in the bloodstream, it might get some of those endorphins going.
It's so weird.
Or very likely not.
Not at all. Anyway.
And if you don't know who Bill Romanowski is, he was a total maniac football player. Yep. Might have been like the most penalized player in history. I might be making that up, but if I'm not, he was certainly among the top. And so for, if you want to try his energy stuff, I wouldn't recommend it.
It was a drink you're supposed to stir in, but we snorted it. That was
and were
stupid.
You okay?
I was fine, but after my friend who's a doctor was like, that is the dumbest thing you can do. I felt really scared for a while, but I didn't feel any physical effects.
So, okay, last thing. I have friends who, of course, the minute they got pepper spray, like mace or whatever, right? They were like, "Oh, well, obviously we have to try it."
So bad.
Okay, they're like, "Oh, fuck, yeah. Oh man, it's don't it burn, to burn."
Yes, that's what it's designed to do.
Yeah. And what's the bear spray or whatever, right?
Oh, the bear spray, yeah.
Yeah, so like, you know, Steve O thought that it was like mosquito spray that you spray on yourself. And he was about to spray it on the kids when his wife tackled him.
No.
Mama Grizzly was like, no, you spray it on the bears.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Okay. Anyways, all right, guys. We do a post game for you guys where we will talk about what kind of TV I watch, live TV, because on Old School last night we talked about what do we watch that we record, right? And what are the lessons I learned from that? They're interesting. TYTnetwork.com/join to join and free TYT because it's a free month this month. And then, by the way, don't forget about Politicon too because we are going July 29th and 30th. Anna will be debating Ann Coulter. I will be debating Ben Shapiro. Haas will be debating Sleepy Bay, some right wing young guy who's, I don't know if he's rich, but anyway, or just ill informed.
We need to get him some Coco Loco to wake him up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So don't miss that. Last thing, don't miss Pop Trigger, okay? So Brett is one of the hosts of Pop Trigger. Check that out on youtube.com/Pop Trigger. Bye bye.